Once you place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what you have done is the greatest decision in your life. That is the greatest decision. There's no other greater than that, I would say. There are only two decisions in this life that you can make, and you cannot afford to make mistakes. That two decisions, first is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the main decision. The second decision that you are going to make in this life is to what? To find, to decide, to accept a spouse. Accepting a spouse or finding a spouse is one great decision that you cannot commit mistake. Because if you do, your spouse will either make you or break you. And you will be entangled for that for the rest of your life. You may find another spouse because the first or second or third didn't work. Or fourth or fifth or seventh or tenth will work. So hoping that the 11th will do just perfect. And Elizabeth Taylor, she's got seven husbands. But again, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is the most important decision. Do not commit mistake in this, because this is life and death. This is about heaven and hell. So make sure that you are saved. And in order for you to be sure that you are saved, read it in the scripture, because the Bible says in John chapter 5, verse number, it's not in our notes now, but it's John chapter 5, verse number 39, seek ye the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. So, if you want to know salvation, do you want to know that you are really, you can really be assured of going to heaven? Search it in the Bible, because the Bible declares it. It is there. If we are not understanding clearly what happened when we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be a problem in our Christian life. Why do we need salvation? Because last week we talked about this, because we are guilty of sin, for all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. And Romans 5:12, it says there, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Again, we understand that the one person there, that one man spoken of, in that verse is Adam. And it was him who committed mistake. Remember, it's not him. The Bible says there, for us by one man, it's not by one woman. The reason being, he was not really, you know, violating God's command by marriage. She was deceived. He was deceived. But why is it Adam? Adam was not deceived. He committed the sin by volition. You know by volition? You know that like a child? You will tell a child, don't touch it, don't touch it. Now then the child will just touch it. But in our case, God says that, you know, do not commit adultery, do not commit fornication. When you commit those things, it was with all our knowledge. We know that it is sin, and we just still do it. That is volition. It is not deception. You are not deceived by that. You are just hard-headed. You are disobedient to God, of what God has just said. and you know if your conscience will tell you it's wrong, maybe drinking alcohol, God will say, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raisin, and whoso is deceived thereby is not wise. Who have woes, who have sorrows, they that tarry long in the wine, they that look upon the red wine, do not look at the wine when it is red, when it moveth itself aright, for at last it biteth the serpent. And you will find it very hard, when you are beaten by that. And many of the people that are drinking and disobeying God's command already, they found themselves to have problems with livers. Their organs are damaged. And then they think that they can ask God for forgiveness. God will forgive them, but they will suffer the consequences. People lost their health because of their sin, their sin by volition, and they are thinking that God will forgive them. God will forgive them, but you will suffer the consequences. Some young people, they drink drugs and take drugs, abuse drugs. Then later in life, they realize it's not right, and then they want to straighten up their lives, and then they start to begin avoiding drugs, avoiding alcohol, but sometimes it leaves scars in the body. Sometimes when they leave those vices, their lungs are already damaged, their liver is already damaged, and then the young person will realize, oh, he wants to join the military. And he may pass all the tests there, the agility test, perhaps, the battling test, and pass all the tests, then go to medical. And he failed in medical because there is this scar or something in the organ, in the lungs. And then asking God, Lord, please let me pass, let me be enlisted in army or in navy. Then it could happen because God is forgiving you, but there is ramification of sin. There is always that ramification of sin. That is why we have to understand this, that Adam committed sin by volition. Eve committed sin by deception. So if I deceive, maybe Brother Leonard, I will say to Brother Leonard, I'll take you to that place, but I had an evil intention for Brother Leonard. And then when he gets to that place, for sure, he will plunge into that thing that he doesn't like, if he knew it. But because I said to him, and I just, I'll deceive him. Practically, I was just deceiving him, and then he went into that place. So, in that case, he might commit sin, but because of deception. That was the thing that happened to Eve. Eve committed the sin by deception. Satan or the serpent deceived Eve, but Adam was not deceived. He was the one who bears the sin for us and all over the world. For us, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, what is the penalty for Adam's sin? I tell you, that was very simple sin. We don't see it really. Heinous crime. Is it a heinous crime? Your father will say to you, okay, I have an important ornament here. This is a plant here. Do not touch it, because if you touch it, that plant will die. and then you just touch it, and the plant dies. Maybe our Father will forgive us and forget it and buy another. I think that is just as simple as that. But again, if you look at the sin of Eden, it is just as simple as that. Eden, don't touch them, don't touch. Don't eat this of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam knows it. He knew it. And he just did it. But Eve was deceived by the serpent. You can find it in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. So notice here what happened to this transgression. That I was speaking about Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Then now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, and God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So now the serpent is trying to maneuver the facts. I mean, trying to alter the facts. Because it was really a fact that God said, do not eat of the fruit in the midst of the garden. But here, you shall not eat of every tree. So all the trees. So that's what happened there. And then, because Eve was very naive, I think that's the word maybe comes from, naive. Very innocent. Very unsuspecting. You know, are you unsuspecting? Sometimes when someone will come to you and he's new, you know, something to him. You know, he's not very, a stranger comes to you. At least you might put something in your mind. Do not trust. Do not just give your trust all the way. You have to reserve something because who knows, you know, who's this person? Eve was very naive. She was very unsuspecting here. And she talked to the serpent, and the woman said unto the serpent, she clarifies what God said. That means, in her heart, he doesn't want to disobey God. She has no intention of disobeying God. So she said here, he's taking the serpent so that the serpent will have clear understanding of this. And he said, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. She understood it. But although she puts a little bit more of the word, God did not say that if you touch it, you will die. If you eat it, you will die. So I think that was Adam's addition to that. Because when God said, thou mayest freely, or the reason that God thou mayest freely, of the fruit of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But of the fruit which is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, you shall die. But when Adam relayed this message to Eve, I think it was Adam who added to that. So that for Eve not to come near to the tree. So Eve, don't get near to the tree. You will not die maybe if you get near to the tree, but you will be there in the precipice of you will be there in the surrounding of the tree. So stay away from that because if you touch it, you'll die. So I think Adam added something to that. And Eve now is relating it to the serpent. Eve is saying that we will eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Verse 9. And now is that deception comes in. Where is the deception? Verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Okay, so there's no harm here. There's no harm. Eve was thinking, this is not harmful. This is not harmful. Physically, it's not harmful, but spiritually, it is. You see? Now, verse number 5. Satan continued to lie. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that is the complete deception there. And Eve, being naive, bought it. Now, when she did it, did you realize that when Eve ate of the fruit of the tree, she did not realize that she was naked? She did not yet realize. But when Adam ate of the fruit of the tree, both of them eventually, suddenly, we're naked. But Eve already ate the fruit, and she did not feel it, that she's naked. Why? Because maybe it's not yet completely sinful, because it was deception. It was just deception. But when the sin was completely consummated upon the act of Adam, that's it for the world. So Eve was not the bearer of the sin, it's Adam. That is why this verse in Romans 5:12, for us by one man, although he was the second person that ate of the fruit, for us just by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for the whole of sin. So it was Adam who carried it all throughout the generations. And then, the penalty of that is death. Simple disobedience caused death. That is true. What really requires, you know, the penalty of hell is just one sin. If you have done one sin, that's it. But all of us have done a lot of sins. That is why the Bible says that it is true, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and no one can escape it. All of us. Because all of us have done sin. Whether it is big sin or small sin in our eyes, it's all sin to God. That is why you cannot say that, oh, he's a killer, he must be in hell. That person, you know, Hitler, he killed 5 million Jews. That's gross. That's too much. That's evil. He must be in hell. And we don't realize it, that even that small little lie is also will cause us to go to hell. All sin will cause us to go to hell. Now, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 51. I'll show you how small sin will take you to hell. That's the reason why we cannot be saved by our own. We need a Savior because God is holy. And we cannot get there without a Savior, without Jesus Christ. Revelation 51:8. Now, we will take this sin, if individual sin, and then cover the rest of the words and then jump to the conclusion of this. So in other words, the Bible says here, but the fearful, okay, we'll stop from the word fearful. What is the penalty of being fearful? Cover the words and the rest of the words and then jump to the word shall have their part. That word. So confident is the word. But the fearful, what's the result? Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In other words, if you are just fearful, you're not just being fearful, you will go to the lake of fire. Because in the sight of God, that is sin. Being, for many times, we understand this of being fearful. Sometimes we are fearful to man. And in being fearful to man, we commit sin without any person looking at us. When no one is looking at us, we feel like we have freedom to sin. We feel like, you know, when you are alone in your room, or when you are in another place that no one knows you, you feel like you have all the freedom to commit sin. Why you are going away, just going to other places to commit the sin? Why? Because you don't want people to know that you are doing this and doing that. Why you do that? Because you are fearful of God. And in the end, you are not fearful of God, that God is looking at you. You are being fearful to man, and not being fearful to God. And you know what's the penalty supposed to be? Without Christ, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That is simple sin. That is very simple sin. In our estimation, it's not. In our own judgment, it's not. That amounts to, or paramount to, any sin that we call heinous. We could say that it's forgivable. But to God, the penalty is the lake of fire. If you are the judge, you will not send someone to the lake of fire. If I am the judge in living here, I will not send someone to the lake of fire. But God will send someone to the lake of fire. And there's another word, unbelieving. What's unbelieving? We all believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. We believe that. And we all believe that there is hell. And we all believe that. But our action, you know, is contrary to what we believe. Why I say that? Because why we believe that there is heaven, there is a mission in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that. And we believe also that there is hell. We believe that, but we don't go to people. We don't go to people and tell them about Jesus. So in practical application, you are not believing. So therefore you fall into this sin again. Unbelief. Because if you believe that there is a mission in Jesus Christ, that people can escape hell, you will tell people. You will end up a Muslim in your home and tell these people that there is a mission in Jesus Christ, but we don't do that. Why? Because while we believe it in our mind, we don't practice it in our life. And we ended up in this sin of unbelief. When you say you believe God, you don't really believe God. Because if you believe God, you go out of the streets and tell people. You don't really believe that there is hell. Because if you believe that there is hell, you go out and tell them. And that is why we are also guilty of this. And if you are guilty of unbelief, what is the penalty? Go to jail? No, go to the lake of fire. Because this each one of the sin is punished by God into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Abominable and murderers, whoremongers, and all these things. Whoremongers is this is a like a sexual relationship between a person with another person that is not his wife. Or even desire. You look at the pornographic material, and you look at a person, you know, body, and that person's body is not your spouse. That is for part of the hormone. And this sin will have her part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. small sin in our hands. Fearful is not the kind of sin of Hitler or Volkut or the abortionist or the rapist. But in the sight of God, it's all the same. It's all the same. They have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. That is the penalty of Adam's sin. When Adam disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, that simple, in our eyes, simple sin of disobedience to us is okay, but to God is not okay. Do you know how many people will go to hell because of that action of Adam? Billions upon billions of people will go to hell because of Adam eating of that fruit. Eating of the fruit is not the same. It's not the same. The sin is God said the word and he disobeyed. If God will say, okay, Adam, do not pick up the leaves of that tree. Do not pick up any leaves. The sin there is anything that you do in opposition to what God said. It's just that God is telling Adam, do not eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. And exactly in opposition to that, what Adam did is just the opposite. That is why it is sin. The sin is not the eating, the sin is disobedience. And all of us disobey God when we commit sin. Because we already know that God has said that in the scripture, and we disobeyed him. But again, God is very loving and forgiving. But remember this, there is ramification to that. There is ramification of sin. You remember David? When David sinned against God by numbering or by committing adultery with Bathsheba and killing Uriah. You know, killing Uriah was not his plan. In fact, he loved Uriah. But that is the only way that he can escape this, you know, the whole shameful tragedy there of adultery. He committed adultery to a married woman, and the husband is the army soldier of David in the war. When he committed adultery, now later on the woman got pregnant, and it's a problem now. Because the husband is in the war. So what David did, he called for the husband to come home, you know. And he ate with Uriah. And when Uriah was drunk, he sent Uriah to his house to sleep with his wife. So that he knows how to cover him. So that people will know, the people in the society knows that, oh, Uriah came back. So, and then Bathsheba got pregnant. But Uriah could not take it. He understands that his brothers, fellow soldiers, are in war. They sleep in the trenches. They sleep in the mud. And they cannot sleep in the rain. And they stay up all night. And they have no proper food. And everything there is, he could not take it there. King David, I cannot do that. Because my brother is in the war. So he would not go to his wife to sleep with his wife. He disobeyed King David. And looking at the window, Uriah slept on the side of the road. So he could not convince Uriah to sleep with his wife. Okay. He wrote the letter to his general, Joab. No, get into the war, and when the war is heated, withdraw support, put Uriah in the front, and then withdraw your support so that Uriah will die. And you know that letter? When David wrote that letter, it is a scroll, and just like this, and then seal it, and take it to to General Joab, and the messenger who wrote it is Uriah. Uriah thought that this is a commendation. This is a promotion. This letter here from the king.
because the king was so pleased with him,
not knowing that that letter is a death letter to him. Then when Joab read the letter, he just followed King David, put Uriah in the front of the battle, and when the battle was heated up, withdrew support, and then the next day, Uriah is dead, then sent report to King David. King David, Uriah is dead. Then he took Bathsheba to be his wife, and Nathan came. Prophet Nathan came to him, you know King David, you know the story, there's a king, there's a very rich man here, and there's a very poor, and this rich man has a lot of sheep, and this poor man has one ewe lamb that he took it to himself as like his sister and loved that one ewe lamb. And this rich man has a visitor and wanted that ewe lamb to be offered to his visitor. And he took the ewe lamb and killed the man. And King David was so angry at that man, at that rich man. As the Lord thy God liveth, that man should surely be put to death. And Nathan said, you are the man, King David. You are the man. You killed Uriah. You commit adultery with Bathsheba. And from your mouth is judgment of God. But God loves you. You will not die. In other words, God forgave him. But death will not depart from your house. Death will not depart from your house. In other words, God will forgive you, but there is ramification of your sin. You cannot get away with your sin. God will forgive you, but you will pay the price of your sin. You know what's the price of David's sin? When he killed Uriah and he, took Bathsheba, they made them say, death will not depart from your house. You know what happened? His daughter, one of the most beautiful daughter of King David, was raped by his son. And that son of David that raped the sister was killed by the brother of the sister because they have different mothers. Absalom was the brother of that little girl, Tamar. Tamar is the younger sister of Absalom. And is it Amnon? Amnon was killed by Absalom. And Absalom wanted the kingdom and David loved Absalom. That he departed and he fled into the mountain because he doesn't want to fight against Absalom. He loves Absalom. He wants Absalom to take the kingdom. So he fled into the mountains. But Absalom could not rest until David is dead. So he followed David. But David is a man of war. And the generals of David were also a man of war. So Absalom lost his life there. And David cried, bitter cry. Oh, Absalom, Absalom. I would rather die for you, Absalom. He could not forgive himself. I'll tell you, God has forgiven his sin. He paid the price later on. And the price, he would rather die than to have Absalom die. I will tell you, we know that we cannot get away with our sin. We cannot get away. That is why we better stay away from that. Adam said, do not eat of the fruit in the midst of the garden, nor touch it. To make sure that she will not come here. And then, still sin happened. My friends, ramification of sin. That is why we need salvation in Jesus Christ. Small sin, big sin, there is ramification of that. And you cannot get away from the penalty of that sin. Please bow your head and pray. Let's continue this lesson about understanding salvation in Sunday. And you can do the memory verses ahead of time. Do the memory verses, and I will call you to memorize one. But it is random, so I expect that you memorize all. So memorize all, and you can gain points. Once you complete 10 points, I will give you this beautiful soul winning New Testament, Souvenirs Bible, which is
genuine bonded leader, very beautiful. And there are guides inside and notes that you can find, and then the step-by-step soul winning plan. And the verses that pertain to soul winning are highlighted. So you will have guide, and it will help you with your soul winning effort. And also I encourage you, if you have free day, free evening, you call friends at your house, I will come, then we will do Bible study. Because the first meeting most probably is so simple, because it's just about salvation. And that's why I want you to learn this, so that later in life you will just do this, and you can do Bible study on your own. If you master this, and there are others here, you can master understanding salvation, master the lessons about eternal security, master the lessons about baptism and about the Word of God, then this will help you conduct your own Bible study. But for the meantime, if you are not confident of doing it your own, call me. We will just arrange the schedule. Let me know, and I will come to your place. And your friends, loved ones, your workmates, you know, invite them into your house. Maybe just meet them here, and I will talk about salvation. And hopefully, we can win many souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have a whole new heart too. The Lord will be blessed, and your life will be blessed. Because that is the work of Christ. If Jesus Christ did not leave earth, he will do it. But because the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, left already, and he's now in heaven, waiting for us, we will do his work. The Bible says, I must work the works of him that sent me while in this day, the night coming, that no man can work. So we will do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you do it very faithfully, the Lord will bless you. So I want you to be blessed also. I don't want you just to come to church. I love you to come to church. I really love that all of you will come to church, but coming to church is not a service yet for you. Coming to church is just, you are served by the Lord. You are served by the Holy Spirit of God. You are served by the people. But when you do Bible study, that is serving already. That is doing the work of the Lord. And that is where you can earn rewards in your labor for the Lord. So I want you to be a blessing, and I want you to be a blessing to your loved ones, and giving them the knowledge of salvation and giving them the gospel is the greatest gift that you can give to the people around you. So do that. Find out what day of the week, what night of the week that you are available, and I will check also my schedule. Then I will come to your place, and we will do Bible study. Just like what we did with Brother Raymar, when he invited us and his flatmates to their place. And I'll tell you, in that meeting, I think 8 people received the Lord Jesus Christ. 8 people in one night received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Look at that, 8 people in one night. Because one person opens his home for Bible study. So do that, and I know that the Lord will bless you too. All right, let's pray. Let's close our Sunday school now. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this lesson about understanding salvation. I pray, oh God, that these people will be encouraged to memorize these verses and understand all the verses pertaining to salvation, so that, Lord, they also will be able to learn themselves, that they can teach this to others and teach this to their children. And Lord, help them, Lord, in their desire. Give them, Lord, passions for the lost soul. Give them passion for soul winning. So that, oh God, many of your people here in Mount Zion Bible Baptist Church will be able to reach as many people as we can. That, Lord, your name will be glorified. Bless these people, oh God, and thank you, Lord, for bringing them together. And I pray that your blessing will abound upon them and their families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a break and let's come back in 10 minutes.